Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Yud Beis. We're starting at the very top of the Omid. Tanya Nami Hochi. The Gemara is going to bring yet another raya to what we finished off in yesterday's blot. As you'll recall, we had a very, very fascinating discussion going back to Cheshboinus of Balshetzar and then of Achashverosh and when the Chorban Beis Hamikdash took place and how you start counting the 70 years. We went through that in some detail yesterday. At the very conclusion of the Gemara said that L'choyre, based on all of the Cheshboinus, then the Binyan Beis Hamikdash should have started in the final year of Achashverosh. Yet we find that it only started a couple of years later. How could that be? So Gemara said, Omerova, the last five words, Shonim Mikuto'ois Hava. In putting together our 70 years, some of the years were counted twice, because it was only a partial year. And Rashi gives two examples, but the main example Rashi gives at the very end is that we said that Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years, and that Evel Meroidach, his successor, was king for 23 years, and we added the 45 and the 23, and we got 68. And Rashi says it's really not 68, it's really only 67. And the reason is because the final year of Nebuchadnezzar and the first year of Evel Meroidach were really an overlap, and really it's only 1 year after all. So it's either that Nebuchadnezzar was 44 and a half, and then Evel Meroidach was 22 and a half, something along those lines, that we add up and we only get 67 and we don't get 68. And therefore, says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochel, I bring a Raitaka from another Braisa, where the Braisa says at the top of the Omud, the Oid argirs ishana acheres, but both Rashi on the top line and the Bach changes the girsa to Va'oid shana achas lebavel. We have to add one more year to bavel, meaning that since we had an overlap, we have to add 1 year to go and finish off the cheshbon of 70 years. Says the Omad Daryavish v'ishlima. When Daryavish became the Melech, so you add one more year from his reign, and that would be mashlim the 70 years. So we see that there's another braisa that agrees to what Rava said, that Shana Mikutoyis Hava, therefore the cheshbon wasn't perfect. We had an overlap of the year. Omer Rava, and Rava says, after Neil to Obahai Cheshbona, even Daniel, when he was putting together the cheshbon of the 70 years, he also had a mistake exactly how to count the 70 years. How do I know? Dechsev, Bishona Bishnas, Achas Lamolchoy, Ani Daniel, Binoisi Besfar. Now Rashi explains that the word binoisi doesn't just mean that I use my bina, my seichel, my wisdom, but binoisi means that I went and I recalculated, and the word svarim over here really should be misparim. I took the numbers that were previously counted, and I went over it again and again to see whether or not we could come out with the proper calculations. Me'ikomer binoisi mechlal deto. Because he says binoisi, that means initially he made a calculation and it didn't work out, and therefore he said, you know what, I got to go through the numbers again and again until he got the right number. After we've gone through Balshetzar and Achashverosh, and we see that Daniel had an issue as Lamaisa, but don't we have a stira in the psukim themselves? What is the stira in the psukim? Ksiv Melois Lebavel. Remember, we quoted that pasuk yesterday. If you go back to the middle of the Amud on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, right in the middle line, Ki lefi malois lebavel shivim shana efkoid eschem. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that after Bavel has 70 years, I will remember and I will redeem Klal Yisrael. Uksiv, but there's another pasuk, lemalois lecharovis Yushalayim shivim shana. That only after the Chorban, after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, only after that, 70 years later, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu going to go and remember us and take us out from Golis and take us back to Eretz Yisrael. So isn't there an inconsistency between these two psukim? So the way we tried to address it yesterday was that when it says Lafi Molois Lebavel Shivim Shana, we don't really mean 70 years from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, but rather we mean from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But what does that have to do with Lafi Molois Lebavel? So the Gemara said it means 18 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king, starting from then, that's when the Churban began. If you want to, yesterday we said in the first year of Achashverosh's reign, not Achashverosh, of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he was Koivish Nineveh. The second year he was Koivish Yehoyakim. And then we said 7 years later was the Golas Yehoyachin. And then 11 years later was the Golas of Tzidkiyo. Ah, that's when you're supposed to start Cheshvening Lefila Molois Lebovel Shivim Shana. That's not really accurate, because that has nothing to do with Molois Lebovel. That has to do with the Churban. So, L'chor, it is a facial inconsistency between these two psukim. That's what the Gemara addresses. Now, Omar Rava Lepkida Bialma. When it said in the first pasuk, Ki Lefi Malois Lebov of Shivim Shona Efkoid Eschem, Efkoid doesn't mean that I'm going to go and actually transport all the Eden from Bovel back to Eretz Yisrael and start the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but means Efkoid Eschem. Now, Efkod Eschem over here has two interpretations, if you will. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will remember you. Number two, Efkod Eschem is also, Hashem will appoint you. The you in this case is Koyrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Koyrash to be the one to bring the Yidden back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael and to start the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see momentarily in the Gemara. However, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us at that time and commanded Koresh at that time to start the Binyan, however, there were delays, and in fact it only took place 70 years after the Churban Yerushalayim. So not at the time of Koresh, but only later by Dariovish Hasheni, who was, according to many, the son of Achashverosh, or with Esther. But anyway, getting back to the Gemara's Omer Rava.
How do they fit in, Koresh? You have Nebuchadnezzar, and then you have
Evel Meroidech,
and then you have Belshazzar.
Belshazzar.
And then you have Achashverosh.
No. You are forgetting yesterday's Gemara. If you go back to the middle wide lines, all the way in the bottom, it's six lines from the bottom of the Gemara. Six lines from the bottom. My Bavel Golas Bavel Kama Betziron. How many are we missing? Tamli, 8 years. Choshev Va'ayil Chilufayu. So Achashverosh said, let's go and put in the exchange. In other words, a new 8 years. Chod de Bashetza, because Bashetza was 3 years altogether. Afterwards, V'chomish de Daryovish V'koyrosh. These are Daryovish V'koyrosh, and this is the Koyrosh that we're talking about. So that was 5 years. V'tarti today in 2 years now of Achashverosh. Hashivin, now we got 70 years. So now it's all full and dandy and everything is great. But nothing happened then. So the question is, why didn't anything happen? So the Gemara said, because we're going to the Churban Yerushalayim, which was 11 years later. So the Gemara, okay, 11 years later, but that should be in the 14th year of Achashverosh. So the Gemara, no, it didn't take place then because of the Shonim Mikutois. And as a result, we didn't finish the entire 70 years, and that's why it only started subsequently in the times of Daryovish Hasheni, like we had here on the second line from the top of the Yomid. The Yomid Daryovish Vishlima Dovish Hasheni, he was the one that was Mashlim the full 70 years, and then that's when the actual building began. But going back to this Kodesh that we went through quickly, he was asked by Kodesh Baruch Hu to go and, number one, take the Yidden out of Bavel and bring them to Eretz Yisrael, and number two, to go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So Omer Rav Lepkida Bialma, that's why it says in the pasuk, Koyamar Koyrosh Melech Paras, says Koyrosh, the king of Persia, Kom Amlechoy Sa'oretz Nosam Li Hashem Alekei HaShemayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me all of the land, all the mamlachas. In other words, he was king over many, 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 many different countries. And v'upakad alai, and he commanded me. So Pekido over here is not just that Kodesh Baruch Hu remembered, but Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded, like you have in the Megillah, v'yafkid ha-melech pekidim. Doesn't mean that Achashverosh should start remembering. It means he should go and appointees, officials. V'upakad alai livnois loy bayis b'yishalayim. He commanded me to go and build the bayis b'yishalayim. And the Gemara leaves out a pasuk. Rashi quotes part of the pasuk that afterwards he said, and I want you also to go and bring up the yin from Golus and take him into Eretz Yisrael. Is Dorish of Nachman Bar of Chizda Maidach Sivit says in another pasuk, Koyamar Hashem Lemshichoi LeKoyrish Asher Hechzakti BiYaminoi. So on the surface, the Pasuk sounds like that Koyrosh is himself the Mashiach. Hashem is saying to Mashiach, who is that Mashiach? The Koyrosh. Asher exactly mimin. Afreiti mora. The Koyrosh Mashiach. The Koyrosh wasn't Mashiach. Elo omle kodesh baruch hu Mashiach. Kodesh baruch hu is saying to the real Melech HaMashiach, Koyva aniloch, I'm going to complain to you, not, I don't have a complaint against you, but I'm going to express my complaint to you, Mashiach. Al Koyrish about Koyrish. What's the complaint against Koyrish? Ani Amarti Hu Yivne, it says basically it's a mistake, Hu Yivne Iri, the Yikbites Gilioisai. I commanded him, number one, to build the base of Midish and to go and collect all the Yidden from Golis and bring them back into Eretz Yisrael. Viu Omar, in Koyrish, in response, he said, he said, whoever wants to leave Babel and come up there to Israel, you're free to do so. The doors are open, no problem. No quotas, no limits. Anybody who wants to come up can come up. But Kodesh Baruch Hu was disappointed with Koyrosh, because he didn't tell Koyrosh, go and allow everybody to come in. He wanted him to go and implement, to bring them in, to go echweis, send the supersonic jets, to go and send boats, to go and send mules, to go and send donkeys and camels, to go and transport everybody. He didn't want just to give the permission, he wanted to implement the whole plan. He didn't. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu was upset at Koyrish and he complained to Mashiach. Rashi says that if you look up the Pasuk, Koya Mar Hashem L'mshichai, the Koyrish Eshechzakti B'minoi, on top of Mashiach you have a zarka, for all those that are familiar with the truck, zarka segol always goes together as a pair. And guess what? There's only a zarka, and on Kodesh there is no segol, says Rashi. That's to show you that these are two separate ideas. Koyamar Hashem l'mshichai. Stop. What did he tell Mashiach? Colon. I'm complaining to you about Koyrosh asher echzakti b'yaminoi. I was machzikim, and I gave him the command to go and bring the Eden back into Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't do it. And that was the complaint that he had against Koyrosh. Yes.
Apologize. The Yael, what does that word?
The Yael is from the Russian Aliyah. Aliyah means that they should come up. He, Koyrosh, announced, Mi b'chem yikol amoy, whoever among the nation of Hashem, the nation of Israel, who's living in Bavel, if they want to be all, they can make aliyah. They can come to Eretz Yisrael, the doors are open, they're free to come.
Did Hashem punish him for...
Agmar doesn't go into that. Agmar just tells us that he was upset at Koyrosh for dilly-dallying and not for dilly-dallying on the Beis HaMikdash, because at that time Hashem said we should start building the Beis HaMikdash, but Koyrosh didn't build it either. It was delayed until years later in the times of Dariyovesh HaSheni, which was already talking about from the times of Koyrosh. Then after that we had Achashverosh, and then we had after that Dayovish. So Dayovish HaSheni, he was the one that actually implemented and he did the building, and Koyrosh dilly-dallied on the building, and he also didn't go and implement the bringing of Yidden back, he just permitted them to go back. Good?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. And now we're continuing on into the Megillah, and we're going to continue darshaning many of the psukim. Cheil poras umodai. Hapartimim, Vesari Hamdinis Lofanov. And the next pasuk talks about the Malchi Modi Uforas. So I have one pasuk that says, Poras Umodi Hapartimim, and then I have the Malchi Modi Uforas. The way Rashi learns the Kasha of the Gemara is that in both cases, next to the word Modai, I have a modifier. In the first case, it's the Partimim of Modai. Partimim are officials like governors. And the next pasuk says, the Malchi Modai. These are the kings. So make up your mind. Are they the governors or are they the kings? Amarova asnuye asnu bahadadi. The Modais and the Porases, in other words, the Persians and the Modians, they got together and they decided to have a rotation. Like Lahavdol, they have in Eretz Yisrael, there's supposed to be a rotation after Bennett and Lapid, supposed to be, everybody says, never going to happen. But that's not the point. The point is that they had an agreement of rotation between Poras and Modai. And what was the agreement? Minon Malki Minaychu Ifrachi Vi Minaychu Malki Minon Ifrachi. It's going to be that either we, the Persians, at a given time, we're going to have the Malachim, and you Modais, you're going to have the Partimim, those are the Ifrachis, that's a like the governors, or when we do the rotation Faket, then we, the Persians, we're going to have the Ifrachi, the governors, and you're going to have the Malachim. That's how Rashi learned Pshat in the Gemara. Some of the other Meforshim disagree with Rashi and say that the focus is not so much that it says Partimim on Modai and Malchai on Modai, but rather the fact that the Psukim reverse the order of Paras Umadai. The first Pasuk says Paras Umadai, and the next Pasuk says Modai Ufaras. Why doesn't it say Paras Umadai? That's to tell you the rotation, that one year Paras is in charge and Modai is number two, and the next year Modai is number one and Paras is number two. Well, the Maisa comes out the same, only the question is what was the stira between the two Psukim. And the Pasuk continues, Bahar Oisai es Oisher Kvoy Machusai. He, Achashverosh, is putting together this lavish feast, and he's showing everybody the Oisher Kvoy Machusai. What does that mean? That he, Achashverosh, put on the Big Day Kohen Godol, Ksiv Hocha Yekar Teferes Gedul Asai. That's a Pasuk in Esther. Uksiv Hasam, and it says the Gavi, the Big Day Kahuna, L'chavayt Ule Sefaris. So here you have Teferis, and here you have Teferis. Just like the Chavayt Sefaris is referring to the Big Day Kohen Gadol, that's telling us that Achashverosh, with Achutzpah, he put on the Big Day Kohen Gadol at this feast that he made. Uvim Lois Ayom Ma'ele, Osa Melech L'cho, etc. Rabbi Shmuel Chad Om Melech Pekiachay, Bechad Om Melech Tipeshoy. So to understand this Gemara, one really has to remember what it says in the Megillah. It says that initially he, Achashverosh, made a huge feast for 180 days for all of his Sorim Vavodim and all of the people outside the Melucha. And then after, when he finished that, Osa Melech, for all the people that lived in Shushan. So first he had the people on the outskirts, he made for them a big suda, and only subsequently did he make one for the local populace there in Shushan. So now the question is, was this a smart move or was this a stupid move? So Machlik is Rabbi Shmuel, Chanam HaMelech Bikech, V'Chanam HaMelech Tipeshoye, as was, Mani HaMelech Bikechoye, Shaper of it, good keton, the Korav Rechika Bereshe, first he wants him Makarev, the Rechoikim, Kiruv Rechoikim, the first case in history, Kiruv Rechoikim. He's bringing the Rechoikim, going to Makarv them and make a big Suda. To B'nai Mase, Kolei Mr. Boy Mephayislo. The locals, he can make a Suda anytime he wants. He doesn't have to make any special preparations. He claps on the Bima, the boys say today, tomorrow we're going to have a big Suda, and all the people, the locals, are all going to come. He never has to, he doesn't have to worry about that. Mandiyamah, Tibbishoya, Tiboyle the Kruve, B'nai Mase Bereisha, Timor Dubei Hanoch. Hani have come about day. It would have made more sense to go make first a suda for the local populace, so that he will endear himself to them, and they'll feel, oh, our king, he made for us our ganta suda, we're so happy, and we're united with the king. And then if Cholila, vis-a-vis Achashverosh, if he had Mordu Behanoch, if the people that lived far away made a merida, would make a rebellion, Hani Habakim by day, the locals would go and support him and say, and they would make big demonstrations, have the big signs, we're on the side of Achashverosh, etc. So therefore, it would have been smarter for him to first be Makar of the Kroivim, and only later to Makar of the Rechaikim. It's the Machlekes. Shalot Amir of Esra B'Shim Ba'yichoy, Neiman Neschaivus and Enisha Yisrael, Sheboisi Hador Kloya. Why was it that the Sonim of Israel, when we say the Sonim of Israel, it's a euphemistic term, it's Peloshin Sahinor, we really mean why were Klal Yisrael Nebuch Chayv Kloya, the Nebuch that Achashverosh wrote this horrible decree of Lahashmed Lahari Gula Abedis Kola Yehuda Minar Ve'adzokin, that everybody should be destroyed. What did they do wrong? Is Reb Shimba Yehoi now answered rhetorically to his Talmidim, Omer Lehem, Nu Imratem, Nu Jot, tell me, what do you have in mind? So they said to him, because they had Hanoah from that Russia. Now what's so terrible that they had Hanoah from that Russia? Presumably they were careful only to eat the kosher foods and not the non-kosher foods, or maybe there was a special section for the Jews. So what's so terrible, nation Hanu? Black kosher. The problem over here is in the Mephoshim is because we just said that they used the Kalim, the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, and he, Achashverosh, was putting on the Big Day Kohen Gadol. That's a tremendous desecration of the Kalim and the Beis Hamikdash and the Big Day Kohen Gadol. So they should have said, they're desecrating our religion. They're profaning the religion. We should go and participate. But they did participate. And that's the reason why they were Chayav Kloy. If that's the case, in Cain, Shibishushin Yargu, Shibacholo Oilam, Kuloy Al Yargu, it should have been only the locals and not people from all over, because from the Mashmois of the Lushan of the Megillah, the 180 day party that he made was only for the Sarim, for the Chusheva people from the outskirts, not the locals. He didn't invite the entire Malucha in 127 Medinas. He would have millions of people coming for the Suda. So apparently he didn't invite the whole world, just the representatives, and those representatives were presumably all goyim. Local people in Shushan, that's already for everybody in Shushan, was invited to come on in and have a good time, and probably everybody came in and drank something and said Chaim to the Melech, etc. So then, Freiti Mora, if that's the case, who are the ones that were really Nenami Sudar? Say it's only the local Shushan Jews. So those should have had the Gezeira against them. But all the rest of the Yidin throughout the 127 Medinas, Al Yehoga, why should there be a Chas Hashom Mekanas, an execution order against them? So then they responded to Shimba Yechoy, Nu Oy Bazoi Emorato. So you tell us now what's the reason why they were unfortunately Chayef Kaloya. So he answered, because they bowed down to the Tzelem, to the statue. Which statue? A machloikis between them. Mefarshim Rashi says the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, others say the statue of Haman. But it's mashma more of the Nebuchadnezzar. It's because it wasn't the Nebuchadnezzar himself, but it was meant l'shem avodah zarah, and therefore, since it was l'shem avodah zarah, that's the reason why they were chayef kloya. Amrulois, and they answered, v'chimasu panam yesh b'dabar. If in fact they did avodah zarah, even though they did it against their will, but don't we have a special rule when it comes to avodah zarah? That's one of the three cardinal sins of Yehorig ve'Aliyavar. So why did afterwards, as a result of their tshuva, why were they able to go and reverse it in Hapachu and live after all? Amalahem. So Rav Shimba Yechoy said, Himli also el leponim, Afkadish Bochali also imoen el leponim. Leponim means they only did it on the outside, superficially. They didn't really mean it. Their hearts were not in it. They just went through the motions. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he got angry at Klai Yisrael, he also, Kavi Yochel, only went through the motions. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't really want to go and destroy Klai Yisrael. The reason why he allowed Achashverosh to sign this horrible decree of the Hashmid, the Harig, the Aved, is to incentivize all of them to go and do tshuva. And in fact, Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu was successful because in the times of Mordechai Yes, and they did do tshuva. That's what it says in the pasuk in Eicha. Neither the Yidden went and served the Avodah Zarah by bowing down to this statue. They didn't do milibai from their hearts. It was just this superficial motion thing. And Kadosh Baruch Hu as well, when he allowed Achashverosh to sign the decree, it was also not milibai. It was just superficially to allow Yidden to go and do tshuva. And we continue weiter on in the Megillah b'chatzar ginas bisan amelch. It means all the guests sat in the chotzer, in the gina, and the bisan. Bisan is the palace, like the bayis. And the Gemara asks an obvious question. So where did the guests sit? Did they sit in the chotzer, which would have meant in the front lawn or the backyard, the gina in the garden, bisan in the palace? You know, where were they? So Rabbi Shmuel had Amar Haroy lechotzer lechotzer, Roy legina legina, Roy lebisan lebisan. It depends whom. The Grois Sorim v'Nechbadim, they presumably sat in the palace, and those were Shvacher sat in the chotzer, others in the gina. In other words, each one according to their status in society and in government. That's where they would sit. V'chad Amar Hoshiv mechotzer. Initially, everybody sat down in the chotzer. It says mechatzar. However, there wasn't enough room because everybody wanted to be at the Mishnah of Achashverosh. So then they added more seats and tables to the Gina. There still wasn't room. Until they afterwards they had to make room in the palace itself for the overflow of the people, and that already was enough. The Masisa Tan in the Brice says a little bit differently. Everybody sat in the Chotzer. On one side of the chotzer was the beautiful garden. The other side was the beautiful palace. So they left both doors open. So in the middle of the Suda, when you're getting to the boring speeches, the people can go and take a walk. And these people would walk in the Gina, and these people walk in the Bisan and have a good time and get a royal tour of the royal gardens and see the palace and see all the tapestries, etc., etc.
So where was Achashverosh in the chotzer?
Well, it doesn't say where Achashverosh was. Presumably, if he was a good host, he was walking back and forth, holding a cup in his hand and saying l'chaim to everybody and going around and making the rounds with everyone. But it doesn't say where he was. Chur karpas uschelis. Ochus b'chav libutz v'agomen. For Kalili Chasif, as we know, Zogti Morabaita, what's Chur Kafas Eschelis? My Chur. What's the definition of the word Chur? Machloikis Rab, Omer Chori, Chori. Chori means holds. Holds, holds. What means holds, holds? Says Rashi, we're talking about a beautiful embroidered tapestry. And how do you embroider a tapestry? You go and do weaving. You go and weave in and out with stitches. So you have to go make holes in the tapestry to fit in the needle and fit in the thread to make it a beautiful tapestry. So that's what he's referring to. The chur really means a tapestry which was embroidered. Shmuel Amar Milas Levona Hitzia Lehem. Levona, of course, is white, which is the connection here, because chur is similar to the word chiver, or machvarta, that the Gemara says. Chiver in Aramaic is white. And therefore what he's saying is, milas is a material. Most of the Mefarshim learn that milas means fine wool. Some learn that milas means silk, but it means either white fine wool or white silk. He gave them as spreads to put over themselves, put over the table, to put over the chairs, whatever. Karpas, says here, chur karpas is chelis. So the karpas over here doesn't mean the karpas that we eat on Seder night, but rather, omer b'yosef b'chanina, korim shulpasim. Korim are cushions, shulpasim, again, of fine wool, that people, when they sat down on their seats, they also sat on a nice, beautiful cushion, and that cushion was made out of fine wool, and that's the kar. Pas, kar means a kar, the kesis, is a cushion, like a pillow. And pas means the fine wool. Al galilei chesef yamudei shesh. Mitois zohav v'chesef. Now what does it mean, zohav v'chesef? Mitois, of course, are beds. And as you know, in the good old days, they didn't sit down on chairs at the table. They lied on beds, and that's why we have a seba at Seder night. At the and Pesach. So now the question is, some were gold and some were silver. Tanu b'Yuda imah haroy lekesef. Kesef roy lezov lezov. It depends. If you were a greisa knacker, then you have zov. And if you are a shvacha knacker, then you are only kesef. You know, it depends on your level. Amalei Reb Chaim kinato matal kinu besuda. Aren't you going and automatically building up jealousy in suda? Who? He's on the gold one. I'm on the silver one. I'm going to resign from my position if I'm not going to get the proper covet. He gets gold. I get silver. In fact, it was one and the same. It was one bed. The bed itself, the main structure, was made out of silver, and the raglayim, meaning the feet, were made out of zov, were made out of gold. So the mitzvahs were both zov and chesef at the same time. And then it says, "Vayita bahat v'sheish v'dar v'seichores." What means bahat? Omer v'asi avonim shemischoitetois al ba'aleim. V'chenu omer avne nezer misnoisetois al anmosai. They both. Both of these psukim mean that the bat v'sheish is referring to, at least the bat is referring to beautiful stones, presumably nice tiles on the floor. Rashi says ritzpa oslehem ba'avonim chatutais, that they went and made a very, very beautiful floor. I guess I don't know if it's the dance floor or the ballroom floor or out in the chotzer and the gina. They made a beautiful floor with beautiful avonim, beautiful stones. What means mischotetos? Rashi says mischotetos means that these are in great demand, so that the balim that want these avonim have to go from dealer to dealer, from store to store, from online to online, to go and find these, sorry?
Hand-picked
stones. Oh. So the word mischotetos, normally mischotetos means dug out or chiseled out. What he means is that the balim had to go and find all of these and dig them out from among all of the stones that are available throughout the marketplace. These were in great demand. Rabbi, if you'd be so kind, please put yourself on mute. Anyway, so that's the word bahat. Bahat as if it would say with a ches, bahat. Bahat means that they were in great demand. That's the ches and tes. That's the hay and tes. The hay and ches are mischalif. In a similar sense, you have Avni Nezer Misnoisesois. Misnoisesois, in this connection, says Rashi, means from Loshen Nisoyen, Nisyonis Harve. To be able to get these special Avonim, they had to go time and time again back to the store, back to the dealer, back to the quarry, many Nisyonis, many tests, many times, till they finally got what they were looking for. So both of those have that same sense of highly desirable, hand picked, rare stones for the tiling of the floors that were there. Alan Masay. V'dar v'secharis. What means v'dar v'secharis? Anyone has now three pshatim and dar v'secharis. Rav Omar Dori Dori. Dori Dori means rows and rows of these stones. And it says over here, also in the pasuk for secharis, Rashi says that secharis means loshen schar schar. Schar schar means encircled from all sides. So therefore, the floor where everybody was getting together for this great mishteh were in rows, but apparently not only rectangular rows, but also in circular rows, very nicely done. I guess like the old mosaics that you see sometimes, if you in certain places they show you the old floors from hundreds of years ago, they have beautiful mosaic floors, and sometimes the design is nice and round. So that's the Dori Dori according to Rav. Shmuel Omer Eben Toivi Yesh Bekrach Yayam the Dora Shma. There's a special diamond, a special gemstone, which is called Dora. That's the word Vidar. Hoishiva Biemtza Seuda. They put it down in the middle of the hall. Mumirulam Katzaroyim, and it was as bright as Tzaroyim. We have a similar concept by Noach in the Teva. It says Tzoyav Tas LaTeva. Rashi has two pshat, and one that it's a Chaloyim, and the other one that it was an Eben Toiva. And this was a gemstone that had a natural brilliance to it, and was shining throughout this hall so that people were able to see each other and see what they're eating and go and come. So it was a beautiful Eben Toiva called Dora Shema. The reason why it's called Dar V'Seichores, says Rashi, is Seichores is Loshen Siarahu. Siara is another name for the moon. So this is shining like the moon, giving moonlight at night so that everybody would be able to see.
That was the original disco light.
Okay, fine. That's the disco somehow related to Dora. Anyway, okay. It's, I know so much of Havla. We're talking about Ahasuerus with his Mishnah. It was, and as we'll see, he wanted to bring in Vashti, so there was a bit of a disco atmosphere, perhaps. But anyway, to be Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Oh, so this is the final pshat in Darv Secharis. Dror from a lotion of freedom or liberty. What was the freedom or liberty, says Rashi? That Achashverosh gave an amnesty, or he was mevater on the sales tax on all of the Sochrim, the whole Bali Secharis. So the Darv Secharis is Dror, freedom for the Bali Secharis, for the business people. See Rashi about three, four lines before the wide lines in the bottom, five lines in the bottom. Koradro l'cho bali schoira osa nachas ruach l'bnei malchusoi l'havr mihen mechas shel sochrim. Took away the sales tax from all the sochrim, and that gave a lot of nachas ruach. Everybody was very happy. Oh, Baruch Hashem, no sales tax. Right, Mahashkri is bechle... I'm sorry?
Wasn't the sales tax even back then?
Wasn't this consistent with what happened in Mitzrayim?
And that is?
That the taxes were taken away, the burdens from the priestly class.
The priestly class, yes, that's you're correct. Only for the priestly class. Here we're talking about for the masses, for all the Bnei Schoir. The priests were not involved in business, the priests were preaching. Here we're talking about Bali Schoir, people that are businessmen, making money, merchants. But Shkoyach, Shelley, your insight is very well taken.
We don't know the percentages or
how many priests there were and how many businessmen.
No, the percentages of the tax and how it was actually collected. How are they going to know?
We don't, but in case you find out, please share the information with us. We'd be very curious. And we continue on. V'chalei zoha v'chalei mikalim shoinim. Zok t'yimara, it says, kalim shoinim, mishunim mibayle. L'choyin the pshat in the kalim, mikalim shoinim means many different types of kalim. And if that's the case, it should say mishunim. Mishunim would mean that they are divergent in terms of
diverse
variety. Diverse. Oh, very good. Even a better term. These are diverse kalim of different types. So why does he learn shoinim? Amarava yasabaska v'yam lehem rishoinim kolim me kalim v'atim shoinim behem. And you'll also chas v'sholem be kolim. Maybe nishka chas v'sholem. Meaning, Rishonim is referring back to our good friend Baal Shatzar and his group, that they were the ones that were the first ones that used the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash in their earlier cheshbon. And we already said what happened to Baal Shatzar, that he died. And from Rashi is mashma, not only he, but his chaburosai, the people that participated, they also died that night or shortly thereafter. So just like those Rishonim kalu, Nekelim, because of the Kelim, the Atom, and you guys, in the times of Achashverosh, you will also be Kolim Mepnei HaKelim. And that's the Kelim, Mikelim Shoinim. The first Kelim is like the Kolim. You'll die by using these Kelim. And the word Shoinim is not doesn't mean here diverse. Shoinim over here means repeating, like a repeat performance, like Shnayim, the second time. Just like the old guys a few years ago died in the times of Belshazzar, the new guys are also going to die at this time. So who died at this time? We don't find that Achashverosh died,
Vashti.
But we do find that Vashti died.
Belshazzar's granddaughter.
Was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. I think she was the daughter of Belshazzar. But the question is, what's the reason why she died instead of Achashverosh? So the Mashor, other Mepharshim explained, because she was instrumental in delaying the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. It was really supposed to be starting from Kodesh, which was before, like we had before, Kodesh and Deyovesh, the first Deyovesh. And then afterwards, Achashverosh came into power. And then Vashti and Achashverosh were the Melech and Malka, respectively. There was a demand on the part of the Jews, no, Kodesh already said we can go and build the Beis Hamikdash, what's going on? And she was the one that delayed it, so since she undermined the rebuilding of Beis Hamikdash, she is the one that was punished that night.
If they took out the Kelim in the time of Belshazzar, they're already Hulin.
I don't know if they were Hulin. I know.
No, I'm saying, because once someone is Nene from Hegdish, it takes...
I understand what you're saying. But maybe only Yidden, maybe not Goyim.
Okay.
Maybe
okay,
they're
okay.
All the Kelim, maybe okay. Son of the Kelim.
Okay.
But once they captured it, should be... they were...
So you have to have enough from it to take it out of Hegdish.
It could be that those original ones that did also died. We're only talking about those that are using it now as a public spectacle and enjoying their wonderful party on our backs using our kalim from the Beis Hamikdash. Zogti Moravaita and the Ein Malchus Rav Kiana Melech. What's the Yen Malchus Rav? Parshat Pshatli Rav means it's a large quantity. There were gallons and gallons and barrels and barrels. Amaram Lamichikolech V'yachad Ishkiu Yain Shegodol Himenu Bishanim. The Rav just means that each person was offered wine which was a little bit older than him. So if the person was 50 years old, he got wine that was at least 51 years old. If he was 25, he got wine that was 26 years old. And so on and so forth. Vashsiyah Chados. My chados, what's the chados? Amrim chonan mishum remeir, chados shel Torah, that followed in the same pattern of the Torah. After all, we're talking about using the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, so similarly, mados shel Torah, achila meruba mishtia. Now what does that mean, achila meruba mishtia? Says Rashi, we're referring to the kabanas. You see the first wide line all the way down below, chados shel Torah, achilas mizbeach meruba mishtia. After all, you can go and bring a par, a holy cow for a carbon, and you bring a shloish esroinim soilis lachila, that's a lot. And then, menesa chatziahin, and you go and pour a little bit of wine. Compared to the rest, even if chatziahin, even if it's a bottle of two or whatever it is, it's certainly much less than a big cow and three esroinim of soilis. So just like over there, the achila is greater than the shtia, here too, afsudosa shloisa rasha, achila meruba mishtia. So that's the kedos that we're talking about. Kedos said it was relatively small compared to the food. Ein oines. I know somebody once told me that he asked a hotel manager when they have simchas by yin and then lahavdil by goyim, is there any difference other than here you have a kosher caterer and you have a non-kosher caterer? Is there any difference?
The volume of food versus drink.
Exactly. The volume of food versus drink. By the Jews you have tons of food, relatively small amount of drink. By the goyim it's the other way around, that they have tons of drink and relatively little food. So here you have the kedosh al Torah, that there's more achila than there is shtia. Now it's in the pasuk ein oynis. What does that mean? Everybody had from his local wines. What is so important about that? So Rashi says, since they are rogil by, they're used to drinking that wine, so they're not going to overdrink and become unnecessarily shikr. If you're drinking a wine that you're not familiar with, you think that it's only 5 proof and it turns out to be 15 proof, and you drink and drink, after 3 drinks you're totally out of it. But if it's yain ledinos, you know how to go and regulate how much you're going to drink. It's interesting, the word rogil and regulate seem to have a similarity, perhaps etymologically. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Shkolecha v'yachad yishkeinu yaymintina. Lasis kitzayim v'ish v'ish. What does that mean? Amarov lasis kitzayim Mordechai v'homan. The way they distributed the wine, dispensed the wine, was kitzayim ish v'ish Mordechai and Haman. What's the Mordechai and Haman? Mordechai d'chsev Ish Yehudi Hayib Shushanabir, Haman Ish Tsar Va'oyev Haman Rosh Hazem. So therefore we have Ish Ish. So what does that mean? So it says Rashi, they were the Sari Hamashkin B'mishta. Doesn't mean that they were the butlers that went around, but they were in charge of the dispensing of the wine. So they were there at the, they didn't drink them, at least Mordechai didn't drink himself, but they were in charge of the dispensing of the wine, and therefore it's called Ish V'ish.
How can Mordechai show up at this?
He was in the kitchen, he didn't come out. After all, presumably she had her own Ezra's Noshim for the ladies. Even in the good old days, they knew that there was an union of Tzinius and Pritzis, and they shouldn't have mixing and matching, etc. So, shouldn't it say Beis HaNoshim? Both he and she had in mind Lidvar Avera, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. Hainad Yam Inchi, and that's what people have an expression, Ihu Bikari Vitse Bibutsini. Kari and Butsini are both the same min. They're all both gluim. Gluim are gourds or pumpkins. The Ihu, meaning Achashverosh, he had in mind the Kari, the big gourds, the big pumpkins. The Itse and his wife, she had in mind the small ones, the Butsini. Rashi says gluim tanis. So not the big pumpkins, no, the small cucumbers, like you have in the small pickle bottles. In other words, a much smaller variety from the same mint. So what is this all about? So we'll see that just like he wanted to go and show off her great beauty to all of his menfolk, to go and be able to be proud, to say, ha-ha, I have the most attractive queen in the land, so she also wanted to go and show off her beauty, as the Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines. Anyway, continuing on. On the seventh day, when the Levi Melech was fine with wine, well, you only started drinking on the seventh day, didn't drink on the first day, the second day. Oh, the Yom HaShvi that we're talking about is Shabbos Kodesh. She Yisrael Uichon V'Shoisin. What do we do on Friday nights and on Shabbos? After we make Kiddush and we eat challah, etc., then we start saying Divrei Torah, Avort on the Parsha, Divrei Tishbach, we start singing Zmiris to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avot Dichomish Oichum V'Shoisin. Ein Maschilin, Ela B'Divrei Tiflus. What do they start talking about? They start talking about all types of nonsense. V'chem sedosu shal oiser rosha. Halolu oimen modi ois nois, v'halolu oimen parsi ois nois. When the Suda started and they started drinking, what would they start talking about? They'd start talking about which women are more attractive. Those that come from Modi or those that come from Paras. Omle machashverish klisha mimishtamish boy. Not a nice way to refer to your wife. The utensil in which I use. Einoi loi modi v'loi parsi ele kazdi. But I want you to know, Ritzayn Chum Leroyse, do you want to see how pretty she is, how attractive? And you have vada. But they said to show her real attraction is not by having her wear all of the royal garb and having a beautiful crown and all the jewelry, because then we won't see how pretty she really is. And so therefore we want to go and see her without all of the outside chitzonis. The reason why Vashti was now asked to come in that fashion, which obviously would be very disgraceful, the reason is because she's just getting paid back for what she did to the Jewish women. She would have the young Jewish girls come in, and have them go and work without clothing. On Shabbos Kodesh, she made them go and do malacha without wearing any clothing. So that's the reason why now, on Yom HaShvi, it's now Shabbos, we're now having Vashti come in without clothing, mida keneged mida. That's what's in the pasuk. Achad var ma'il kishrei chamas ha-melech ha-chashverosh, zoches Vashti ve'es asher osos ve'es asher nigzar olel. This is, of course, now fast forward, after Achashverosh had now become sober again, and he remembered what happened to Vashti. But the Gemara is focusing on is why does it say the Eis Asher Asasa? What did she do? The Eis Asher Nigzer Leah and the Gzeira against her. That Kishem Shasasa Kach Nigzer Leah. These two go together. That he remembered that Vashti. What did she do? That she caused the Bnei Yisrael to work on Shabbos without clothes. Kach Nigzer Leah. She got the same Gzeira against her. Mida Keneged Mida. So now we shouldn't think that she was embarrassed by the fact that she came in without clothes. That's why the Gemara said before that Shneim the Dvar Aveirim Niskabnu, he wanted to go and show her off in all of her glory, and she wanted to show herself off in all of her glory, that everybody should go and see it. So both of them, neither of them was a Grace of Tzaddik or Tzedekis. Continuing on, but to my Malka, Hamalka, that she refused to come in. We just finished saying that she herself was a prutza. The omemar shnei the dover dvaravei neskamnu, like we just finished saying. My tamali asai. So why did she refuse? She should have come in immediately. That what happened was that she, at that moment, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made that she should have all of these blotches and spots of tzaras on her flesh, and of course on her skin, and this would have been very embarrassing, and that's why she said, oh, no, I can't go in. The Masisa Tana, but Gabriel, but also law, zonav. That Gabriel came and added to her a zonav, a tail, and of course that would have been very embarrassing. So that's the reason
quite
why.
A tail.
I'm sorry? That would have been quite a tail, exactly. Shelly, where are you? That would have been quite a tail. Anyway, so bottom line is that's the reason why she didn't want to come in. And then Melech got very angry. Why did he get so angry? Am I Dolkabe? Okay, maybe she didn't come in. Dolkabe Kuli Hai. Yitzchak Melech Moed sounds like he's at the top of his fury. Amarov Sholchalei Bar Ahuraira, the Abba, the Kabbal Alpha Chamre Shossi Vule Ravi, Vulgavra Ishtati Bechamre. She sent back a message. Not only am I not coming in because of my tzaras or because of the tail, but she also sent a very mocking, denigrating message to her husband. Sholchale, she sent him a note. Bar Ahuraira de Abba. Bar Ahuraira de Abba means the stable boy of my father. Meaning my father, Bar Shetzar, had all of these beautiful animals.
Horses.
Yeah, Rashi says Shoim Risusim, and we needed someone to take care of the horses. And you, Achashverosh, you were horsing around with the horses, you were the stable boy taking care of them. And Abba le Kabbal Alfa Chamra Shasi, Abba, my father was able to go and stomach and drink 1,000 cups of wine for Leiravi, and he didn't get drunk. In other words, he was able to go and control his wine consumption and his beer or whatever consumption.
But now,
let's hear, shall we?
But now, Achashverosh was unstable.
He was unstable. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, that was a great, great comment. Thank you very much. You've certainly lifted our spirits with that very spirited comment about people drinking spirits. Anyway, so continuing on. Vuhu Gavra and that individual, meaning you, Achashverosh, Ishtati Bechamre, you just drank one or two cups and you're ready, Ashoite, Ishtati Elosh Ashoite, that you're ready, totally shikr. Miad, when he heard that, and he was angry. These are the Rabbanim, which are Yoydi Itim. That's what Yoydi Itim means, that they're the ones that are able to go and set the calendar in terms of when there's going to be an Ibi year, when are we going to have a 30-day month, a 29-day month. So he said to the Chachamim, Dainuli, I want you to go and decide what do we do with such a terrible wife that I have. Amru, so they said to themselves, hey, Chanab, what should we do? This seems to be a no-win situation. Naimalei Kotla, should we say go and kill Vashti for speaking with this chutzpah and not coming in? Lamachar, pasuk lechamri, tomorrow the wine is going to wear off, he's going to be sober again. Oh, boy, let me know. They're going to say, hey, what did you do to my wife? And Chas v'Shalom, he's going to go and kill all of them for causing the premature death of his wife. Naimalei, should they say to him, to Achashverosh, Shavka, leave her go, let her alone, come Zalta Machusa, she's being a zilzul against the Melech. It's Amrulai, so they came up with a wonderful idea. Okay. From the day that Chorban is a Migdish, and we've been sent into Golis, Nitla Eitza Mimenu, Vein Ona Yoidin Lodun Din Nefashis. We no longer have the wisdom that we had years ago, as well as we no longer have the license that we had years ago. We cannot Paskin Din Nefashis out in Chutz Laaretz. And so therefore, we're no longer familiar with these types of rules and regulations. We're not the right guys to go to. Zilda Gabi Amenemoyev, go to Amenemoyev, the Yasvi Beduchtayu, Kechamad Yosef al Durdaya. They have been sitting in tranquility in their space now for so many years, just like the wine sits comfortably under daya on its sediment, on its dregs, and sits there. And therefore, ask them. Says Yimara, b'tayma omrulei, and what they said now is in fact very, very logical. Because then the pasuk shanan moyim mina urab v'shoiket hu el shemarit. B'loy hurak mikli el kli hu begodol leholach kalkein omad taimoy boy v'reichay loy nomar. The pasuk, in fact, says virtually word for word what they said to Achashverosh. Shanan moyev min urav. Moyev from his younger years, already a shanan. Shananus means in peace and tranquility. V'shoiket hu al shmorim. And he's taka sitting silently on the shmorim, on the dregs, on the sediment. V'hurek mikli al kli, and nobody poured from one barrel to the other. Ubegoy leholach, he never went into golus. Okay, omatam moy boy v'reichen anoma. Just like wine, it's going to be beautiful, wonderful wine, because nobody shook it, nobody mixed it, nobody opened it. So they too, their tam and their reyach is still intact, and therefore go and ask Amon Amoyev. Good. Miyad, what did he do? Vakarav a love. He brought close to him the following six guys: Karshan, Shesan, Moses, Sarshish, Maris, Marsan, Muchan, all of them, and actually seven of them. Is Omer of Levi Kopasik Zeal Shum Kabonis Nema. Because it says v'hakarav elov, it's a reference to karbanis. Karshina amru malachi shodach nekadosh baruch hu rabbi yishlam klum hikrivu lefanecha korim b'nei shana keder shekrivu yisrael lefanecha. Meaning that why have you chas v'sholom put on the decree hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen soon. Why are you going to make a decree against Klal Yisrael? When did the goyim ever bring korim b'nei shana? Korim is a shepselach, young sheep. Kederach she'akrivi Yisrael lefanecha like Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the word karshana is korim b'nei shana. Korim b'nei shana means kvasim, young little sheep. Sheiser klum he'akrivi lefanecha shtei toyrin. The word sheiser is rosh teva shtei toyrin. Two feigelach. Did they ever bring two birds before you? Admasa klum bonu lefanecha mizbeach adoma admasa. Admasa Sharshish, so the Admasa is referring to Mizbech Adam, didn't even build an altar for you. Tarshish Kulum Shimshul Fanecha, the big Tekuna, the Chsiv Behu, Tarshish Vishoyam Vyoshve. Tarshish was one of the stones that was on the Choshen. So did they go and bring a Choshen, make a big Tekuna like a Yidin do? Meris Marsan Lamuchan, what is Meris? Meris is Kulum Mirsu Badam Lufanecha. As you know, after the Shechita, the blood goes into a vessel, and then eventually that vessel is going to be taken over to the Mizbeach for Zerika Sadam. Sometimes, if there was a delay, there would have to be a person who would go and stir the dam to make sure that it doesn't congeal. So that's called meres, to be memaris, to go and stir up the dam. Marisana, klum mirsum b'menachas lefanecha. Every time when they brought various kabbanis, they also had to go and add the minchas nesachim. So the mincha was made out of water and flour. So they took the flour and the water and they mixed
water
it.
Water or oil?
They had oil as well, but they also had to have the flour. They also had the water. Kalom mirsum b'menachas lefanecha. Did they ever go and mix the mincha before you? Memuchan. Kalom hechinu shulchan lefanecha. Did they go and prepare a shulchan where they put on the lechem upon them in front of you? And so therefore, none of these guys and none of the goyim are come even close to Klai Yisrael. But that's the part of Elov, the reference to the Kabbalah. The Yem Memuchan. Tana Memuchan Zeh Haman. When it says Memuchan means Haman. V'lam Nikr Shemoy Memuchan. Shemuchan Leparanis. Because eventually he's going to get his Paranis. But there's another pshat, Memuchan Leparanis, that he is going to, Rashi says, Uymed Liyos Toloi. Eventually he's going to get his punishment. But Memuchan Leparanis, he was ready to go and inflict Paranis, both on Vashti and eventually on Klai Yisrael. So, a bad guy. Omrav Kahana, Mikancha Hedjit Koyfetz Parosh. From this pasuk we learn that very often the Hedjit means the least significant, he jumps up to go and answer first. Because after all, the pasuk lists Karshan Hashesh Mumuchan. Mumuchan is the very final one of the seven. Just went through all of them. He was the last one. And then the Melech said, no, what should we do to a Vashti that has violated the rules and has acted with chutzpah? V'yem Memuchan. Why didn't he go and say, no, well, let's hear Karshana, what do you have to say? And Shaser and Moser and Sarshish. Because the head is Kripp Beroish, he's the one that lifts his hand first, or he's the one that calls out first. Leo is called Ish Sorid Bebesei. Omer Rabbi Ilmole Igres Rishoines. This is a famous Gemara, and this Gemara is telling us is that what was the, they sent out the geres to the whole Hoyd of Yad Kush, that every person should be the sort of base, he should be the, he should wear the pants in his home. He should be the Tsar, the one in control
of his castle.
King of his castle. Oh, that's good. King of his castle. So, look, Yomar, if it wasn't for that, he gives Rishonos, then Chassid Shalom, there wouldn't have remained from Klal Yisrael a sort of plolet, even one plate of plolet, even one refugee. In other words, everybody would have been destroyed. Amri. Because people, when they saw this proclamation, they said, "My hi, to Shadalon. Well, what is he sending us? Liois kolish sar bebeisim pshita. After the korchem bebeisim pardash chalihevi." Rashi says a korchem means a weaver. Other places in the Gemara suggests that a weaver was considered to be a very lowly a figure of society. A person who was a weaver was considered to be really among the real blue collar workers, not a choshev individual. Pardash chalihevi. If he happens to be in his home, he's the king of his castle, says Barry. Padash Lihavi, he's the official, he's the one in charge. So I need to, the king to go and tell me, Lias Kalish Sarbevesa. So therefore they figured, this king is not so stable, as Zayzukduch Shavi, he's an unstable person. He was a stable boy, but now he's unstable. And therefore when afterwards he sent out another decree of the Hashal Harag Abed, the people didn't take it as seriously either. The Yavkir Melech Bekidim. Rabbi might have said it in the pasuk. Kol orim yas bedas uksil yifreis iveles. Kol orim yas bedas zedovit. So now the word orim over here is from a lotion of orma, of being very smart, being very sharp, like it says by the nochashoy orim. Yas bedas, he uses his seichel uksil, and an imbecile, a person who's foolish, yifreis iveles, he's just going to go and spread his nonsense among all. So what does this have to do? It says, if you want to call Orem Yasa B'dasa David, Tachsev V'yirma Li Avodah V'yivakshu L'Adoni HaMelech Nara P'sula Kol Man Dehavali Brata Aisei Nihalei. We're talking about that David HaMelech, when he got old, he also wanted a Nara P'sula, but he had decided, and he let everybody know, he only needs one. He doesn't need 10,000 or 100,000. So everybody brought their daughter to be feherd by the Adoni HaMelech, not by the Adoni HaMelech, by the Sorim, mm-hmm. And whoever was disqualified was sent home, thank you very much for coming, we'll give you a free ticket home or whatever, and one would remain for David HaMelech. So everybody wanted to be part of that contest. Who didn't want to be with David HaMelech? Mashenke, here in the case of Achashverosh, Uksil Yivois Yivelis Achashverosh, Tuxil Yavkin Melech Bekidim, Commander Havali Brat, Itmar Amine, anybody that a daughter would go and hide her from Achashverosh, because Rashi says Achashverosh would try out each one. In other words, he'd be boil every one of the Naris Psulais. Said all of them lost their virginity, all of them would become Bulais, but ultimately he would only take one for his bride, for the queen. So who wants that? What's the likelihood of becoming the queen? One out of a million, and therefore everybody hid their daughter so that they shouldn't all become Bulais from Achashverosh. Ish Yehudi Oy Mishishon Abira, Ushmei Mordechai, Ben Yoir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. Great Yomar, Mike Omer. What's the pasuk ending off Ish Yemini? In Yichus Ekaasi, that we're trying to tell us is Yichus, that he comes from Binyamin. Liyachs of Ozal Binyamin. So why did we stop after Kish? Going to continue after Kish, the next one, two, three generations, whatever, until you get back to Binyamin. Hello, Maish Nohani. You know the reason why these names are mentioned, the ones that we just reckoned those, Ben Yoir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. So I'll tell you why. Really, all of these names were really descriptive of Mordechai himself. Ben Yoir, Ben Shehir, a name shall you serve, Bitfilosai. He went and showed people how one's supposed to daven, and he illuminated and he enlightened everybody by his tefillas. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshoma el Tfilosai. Then that a Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillas. That's how, what a great tzaddik he was. When he sent up a tefillah, Kodesh Baruch Hu listened. Ben Kish, Shehikish al Shari Rachman, he went and banged on the doors on the gates of Rachman, and they opened it for him. Okay. Then afterwards it says, in the beginning of the Pasuk, Ish Yehudi Hayim Shishon Abira, and then we said at the end, Ish Yemini. So Karli Yehudi, Almam Yehuda Kasi. He must be a descendant of Yehuda. Vikarli Yemini, Almam Binyamin Kasi. So make up your mind. Om Rav Nachman Mordechai Mukhtar Bini Musay Hoya. Mukhtar Bini Musay Hoya, says Rashi, means Vishemus Noim. He had many very nice names. What it means, a very nice name? That he was a person of distinction, so people gave him both titles. They said, oh, he's a Yehudi, he's a Yemini, so he was Mukhtar, he was crowned with nice names. Then Levi, Aviv ben Levi, Aviv Shem ben Levi, Aviv ben Yamin, the Imam Yehudi. In fact, he was from both. He was both Yemini and Yehudi. He was from the father's side, he was Yemini, Ish Yemini, and from his mother's side, he was Yehudi, Ish Yehudi. Rabban and Ami, Mishpachas, Miskar, Zu Bezu. In fact, there was a dispute between those from Yehuda and those from Binyam. Now what? Mishpachas, Yehuda, Meres, and no Gorim, the Messiah, and Mordechai. It's only because of us that Mordechai was born. Why? Dleikatli, David, the Shimi, Ben Gera. He, Mordechai, was an enikel of Shimi. That's perhaps the same Shimi that we're speaking about. Shimi ben Gera. As you know, Shimi ben Gera had cursed David HaMelech. And as a result, David HaMelech had the right to go and kill him because he was married by Malchus. But David did not. Only subsequently told Shlomo HaMelech, his son, that he should go and kill him. But in the meantime, Shimi ben Gera had kids. And one of those kids, eventually, descendants, offspring later on, years later, was Mordechai. So therefore, they're saying the reason why Mordechai was created was only because his Elta Zayda Shimon ben Gera was not killed by David HaMelech when he should have. So we Yehuda, we get the credit for him. So therefore, he's really a Yemini. Rav Omar. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rav Omar, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. Good Shabbos, and all the very best.